Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
What's up and welcome back to the Kinda Funny Games cast. Of course, I'm Tim Geddes and I'm joined by the big daddy himself, Greg Miller.
I had such a great idea for my own version of a game show for the post show because, of course, Blessing does Bless You. He does a great job. He does kind of feudy. I came up with my own in the shower the other day, did a couple of the guesses, like it's five questions, and then I screwed it up, and now I'm frantically trying to put it all together, and it's like, you're a kid, and like I'm hoping Tim calls on me last for my assignment. Mr. Geddes, don't let me go last.
I said to Greg before the show, you know, I'll help you out in the background while we do the games cast, just in case, and he slacks me, stay out of my fucking way, in all caps.
That's how you can help me, bro. All right.
Do you want to give a tease, Greg, a little tidbit about what the name of this game show might be?
The name of this game show is not, you know, Bless Who, Kinda Feudy, all good. I'm going a different angle. Greg and the Gaming Gang go to the movies.
Okay.
Oh, how does that rolls make off you the feel? Nitro Rifle Andy Cortez.
I don't know right how to feel right now, honestly. I do think that Greg should have just ripped off somebody else's game idea. Like how Bless
well, that's
ripped
how
off everybody's
done
ideas.
It every time. Every time. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
D23, y'all proud of that or what?
Oh, I love it. We're starting with the spice already. Speaking of D23, we will be live reacting to Blessing Adeoye Jr. hosting the D23 games panel with some Marvel games announcements, maybe some Star Wars stuff, some Disney stuff. Who the hell knows what's going to be there? I sure don't, but I can't wait to find out. But that is...
We'll never know what that is.
We'll never know what that
there
is.
He goes.
Oh God! I thought that was one of those where I thought I froze. I thought everybody else died here around me.
No. Tim, come back.
Timmy, come back.
Hey, everybody, let's all do the same pose as him.
Is it this hand?
Yeah. I mean, like a great. Yeah, Joey, your other arm, and then no, I'll reach out my.
Andy, you do the opposite. You do the opposite.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Oh, I'm not watching.
Like, me
the
and Greg do this at the other arm, and then
yeah.
Here we go. This is great for audio listeners, by the way.
Tim's Slack is just, oh no, BRB.
Probably a blue screen.
It's a blue screen. It's a blue screen. He shouted. Of course, let's start this again then. Welcome to the Kinda Funny Games cast, everybody. I'll be your host for the second, Greg Miller, who forgot to do the game show. Alongside, of course, it is Christmas in September, Joey Noel. Hello, Joey.
Hello. It's very rare that I find myself on this side of the YouTube universe, and it's good to be here.
Yeah, I'm glad to drag you down to our depths. You know, you're over there with your 299,000 subs.
Yeah.
And I got to hear about it every fucking day that we only have 279, all right? But here you are. You're one of us now. You can't be offended by it, you know?
Maybe I want to go back to the Nick side of things, you know?
Oh, God. He's coming. The problem with Nick coming back soon is he's going to be horrible. You know what I mean? He's going to be so pent up. Like, his wife doesn't let him go full Nick, and we're going to have full Nick for weeks on the end now. Isn't that right? Hispanic heartthrob, Texas treat, Latino heat, clicking heads and ripping them to shreds. The Globetrotting headshot and nitro rifle from twitch.tv. Andy Cortez.
You're absolutely right. We talked about it today on the stream that Michael's like, I miss Nick. And I was like, I don't. And I was like, no, of course I do. Like, I miss Nick. But he's going to get back, and I'm going to quickly wish him to go back on vacation. He's going to come out the gates with some stupid thing that he thought up of, or some insult to, or some shit talk. Who knows what it is? And I'm going to be like, God, go back on vacation, please.
Understandable. That's understandable. Speaking of going back on vacation, he's back from a forced vacation, ladies and gentlemen. It's Forbes 30 under 30, aka the second best baby blues in San Francisco, aka the verified one at Tim Geddes. Damn it. I saw him come on and like I saw him with the eyes and something was wrong. Hey, there he is. All right.
I'm good. There was no audio for a second. I'm sorry about that. Got the blue screen. That was the whole thing. Anyways, I am back at it like a bad habit. I don't know where y'all left off. I assume you.
Everyone's introduced. I have not done the rigmarole.
That is fantastic. Well, here you go. Of course, this is the Kind of Funny Games Cast, where each and every week we get together to talk about video games and all the things that we love about them. And we have a whammy of an episode. No one says that. You know what I mean? The double whammy is one thing, but a whammy, sure. You know, we should make that a thing. Anyways, let's make it a thing right here on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames or roosterteeth.com. If you wanted to get it as a podcast, all you got to do is search your favorite podcast service for Kind of Funny Games Cast, and we'll be right there for you. But if you wanted to get the show ad free, if you wanted to watch it live as it's recorded, and if you want the exclusive post show that may or may not be a new game show called Greg and His Gang of Gamers.
I'm feeling real confident. I wanted five and I've got three all but done. So I'm going to be okay.
You're going to want to go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Just like our Patreon producers, we got some new ones here today. Fargo Brady, Delaney Twining, Holy Crumpets, James Hastings, and Casey Andrew. I'd like to welcome the Crumpets to the illustrious crew.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. If you don't have dollars to toss our way, that's cool. You're out there on the streets buying video games. And if those streets also are the Epic Game Store, you should use our Epic creator code Kind of Funny, and it'll help us. We get money from the money you spend to buy video games without costing you a penny more, and we get those pennies. It's great. Everyone wins. A little housekeeping for you guys. I don't have any. Things are going great here at Kind of Funny. You guys don't need to do anything. No calls to action whatsoever.
What are you talking about? You got a new episode of the X-Cast up. They're talking about if Halo can ever come back. P.S. I Love You XOXO is coming up. It's just me and Janet. There's tons of games content to talk about.
I appreciate Andy Cortez live on the fly slacking me. Check the gain level. It was wrong. I'm sorry. You know what I mean? The whole computer shuts down and I come in here rip roaring, just trying my best. But I appreciate that my team is there to pick me up when I fall. Today, we have a whole bunch of cool stuff. We're brought to you by ExpressVPN and Chime. We'll get to that later. Action-packed show. Not just a whammy, a double whammy of a show. We're going to start this off with this crew you have right here, talking about some fine video games. Then we're going to go to an ad break. But when we come back, it's going to be a whole new crew. Greg, do you want to give a little tease of what they're about to get later in this episode?
Ladies and gentlemen, there's a game out called Immortality, and it's taking the world by storm if you are one of these nerds like me that like narrative games and like mysteries. So I grabbed Blessing Eddie Oye Jr. before he went to D23. I grabbed IGN's Rebecca Valentine, and we have both a spoiler-free review if you know nothing about Immortality of why you should play it and what we think of it. And if it's a game of the year contender, it is. And then a spoiler cast where we go into everything that you can come back to later. But again, that's the end of it. Unless, of course, you're here and you're going to be doing the whole like Patreon post show. Then you got to jump around. It's a whole thing.
I was asked last night by Snowback Mike, Andy, you thinking of dropping into that Immortality game? I was like, yeah, I think so. There's enough big buzz about it. He said, I turn it on, turn it off within 5 minutes. Didn't know what was happening.
He's the worst. He's just the worst. Don't be like Mike.
It wasn't working for me. Didn't know what to do. Turn it off. Like, he's like, if you're going to read me a fucking story, just show me the movie. Like, if you're going to show me a movie, like, just let me watch it. I don't want to do all this shit with it.
Well, in the conversation, I think Rebecca Valentine does a good job of describing why this needed to be a video game.
Ooh, so that a lot of fun teases for the future.
Shut your fucking face, Mike. There you go.
The future. You know? Y'all, we're here right now. And right now, I'm feeling a little Splatoon-y. Andy Cortez, you've been playing some Splatoon 3. What do you think about it?
I have been. Unfortunately, not as much as I'd like to, as I would have liked to, Tim, because they had the Splatfest weekend, that first demo. Servers weren't great. The game was up for about 12 hours, and I think one of my main issues with Nintendo games, and I don't know if it's necessarily just the way the games are built online, but when one person drops out, the game just disconnects and it says, all right, somebody disconnected, go start a new game. And that happened quite a bit, but I love Splatoon and I was addicted to it anyway. And whenever I could get that one more match sort of thing going, because the rounds are so fast, like I think it's like 3 minutes, 3 to 4 minutes each game. It's so action packed. It's such a blast. If you lose, no big deal. You're not going to be stuck in another Valorant match for 49 minutes to see if maybe you could win one more. They're so quick and it's such an easy going game. I had a blast with it. I had a lot of fun with it, and I'm committing to motion controls.
When we motion controls?
Yeah, I'm over here. I'm using the right stick for the big movements, and then I'm just I'm all here. I'm all wow. here. For audio listeners, I'm wiggling and jiggling the controller.
Tell me about that. Andy, I'm excited to hear about this because, you know, you in the last couple of years of you being on Gamescast, I feel that represented your time switching from a controller FPS player to the mouse and keyboard player. Do you think that has something to do with your switch to the motion controls here? In Splatoon 2, I remember you were more controller based, right?
Yeah, but I don't necessarily think that there's anything having to do with like them being paralleled in any way. And then if anything, it's more of me being like, I learned one thing, I could probably learn this as well. And I also know that this is the more preferred way for people to play. And this is the way that people say that Splatoon is best enjoyed if you can get the hang of it. It can feel really wonky and weird at first. Don't get me wrong. Like I still was able to play a lot of the campaign with this early code that we got for Splatoon 3. And even then, it's like I ran into many moments where I wanted to switch off the motion controls because it was just too much for me, and I was just getting kind of frustrated with a lot of the movements. But I'm committed to motion controls, especially for multiplayer. I was fragging the fuck out. Oh my god, destroying all these little 8-year-old kids. It was amazing. Yeah, I had a blast with it, and I'm committing to sticking with motion controls for multiplayer. The game's just fun. It's got a great soundtrack. It's the same Splatoon you know multiplayer wise. There are several other modes that they are introducing that I unfortunately did not get to join in on because of the allotted times that were given for these play sessions. There was, I think, like one day of like, hey, you can. I didn't get my code until the second day that the play sessions were able to go on. And by that point, it
just
was
just full transparency. That was on us, not Nintendo. It's not like they gave us the code late and stuff. There was just some communication issues. Just want to put that out.
Yeah. And so I'm trying to play. I ended up playing in the first session, which is Turf War, which is the mode that is most known in Splatoon. It's just cover the most ground in your color ink and then try to win the game. Sure. But unfortunately, I wasn't able to try any of the other modes because of the times that they were at, and I just had other stuff happening that day. And then I got some DMs from the homie Andre from Game Explain, who's like, hey, I think I saw you online. I think you have a code as well. Are you able to get into a game? I was like, I am not. He's like, yeah, neither am I. I don't know what the hell's going on. So I think we are having issues with servers or things like that. We wanted to somehow make a custom game to join up with other games journos and stuff, but eventually the servers went completely offline. So I played a decent amount of the campaign. My problem with the campaign, though, is Splatoon campaigns have always just felt like something you play when multiplayer isn't up. Splatoon campaigns can always feel like an extension of the main game. Like they almost feel like tutorials in a way, like,
yeah,
get better at these skills of what you'll do and to put to use in the real game. And I think they're trying to expand upon that a bit more. I put maybe like 3 hours into it. And it's fine. Like, I know some people are going to really, really dig it. I just didn't really, there was nothing that are bringing me back, right? There's some neat mechanics that they do introduce, but at the end of the day, it does feel a lot slower playing the campaign because you're not playing other people and there's not, that frenetic energy isn't necessarily there. Maybe it gets harder as it goes on and you will have experiences that more mirror the experiences that I love in the multiplayer. But it really does just seem like, much like the campaign of last of Splatoon 2, they always just feel like bonus content that, hey, this is here too. And I know they want it to be more than that, but I've never really cared about the Splatoon world any, like, in that way, where I want to know about the lore and the characters. I'm just here for multiplayer. So multiplayer isn't accessible for me. It's kind of like a, you know, what am I here for sort of moment. And another bummer is that a lot of the XP that I was getting wasn't helping me unlock things for multiplayer. The more you play multiplayer, the more you're able to, you go higher in level, then you can unlock better weapons for the multiplayer. And I wish there was some of that crisscross between the campaign. I never feel like I got anywhere in the campaign that then sort of like, oh, you unlocked this in campaign, now you have maybe this weapon in multiplayer, similar to what you'd find in like a Destiny where you do, you know, a little mission and then you might get a gun that can be used for any moment, right? It all just, I don't know, it just kind of felt like, again, tutorials, little single player sections that are there, and they're, the fun is there if you can have it, but I just was not having a lot of fun with it, unfortunately.
So compared to Splatoon 2's multiplayer, you being a more multiplayer guy, do you feel like with what you have experienced of 3, there are enough improvements that this feels kind of like a better experience, and do you plan to play a lot more of it?
Well, I definitely plan on playing a lot more of it. Like, I'm excited for the launch. I'm going to be there. I'm going to play a whole lot of it. I couldn't even tell you what felt different about it. I think that's my main issue about Splatoon 3 coming from 2. I think other than it being a new game, I like the hub world that you walk around in. The few sort of NPCs, you see, not NPCs, but other players just sort of standing around there with their art in the game. It just brought back all those, you know, feelings of joy that I felt with Splatoon 2. But I don't think there's going to be anything markedly different, unfortunately. Not that anything really needs to be a whole lot different, because I just love the core experience anyway. And it does feel like a new reason to kind of get back into this gameplay flow. But yeah, I'm definitely stoked to get back into the multiplayer. I'm not really excited for much else. They do have new Salmon Run, which is sort of their co-op horde mode. Sort of objective-based horde mode where you go collect eggs and you bring it back, and another mode that I just don't really care a whole lot for. Like, unfortunately, I'm the multiplayer guy, and I'm kind of just there for that. And when that's down, sure, I'll try out the other modes, and I'll see how long it keeps me there. But unfortunately, I couldn't even get into any of like the cool customization with dressing up my dude. Like, I feel like that's such a big core part of Splatoon, is the style and kind of, you know, dressing your dude up and getting cool clothes and goggles. And everybody loves a goggle, you know, like ever since Ty and Digimon.
Hell yeah.
We love goggles. But yeah, it's just there wasn't a whole lot of customization that I could explore. So yeah, we'll have to see how it feels at launch. But if it's going to be one person's internet goes down and the whole game crashes, like, that's going to really suck. I didn't experience any of that in the like release time that I had with the review period, but I experienced it a lot during the Splatfest beta weekend thing.
Well, we'll have to stay tuned here on the Gamescast, as I'm sure we'll get more updates from Andy. I'm sure you guys will stream it at some point.
Oh, right? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so a lot more thoughts coming up.
I love it enough to play it a lot more, for sure, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a good takeaway, too, is that you're high on the game. It's just kind of like where it's at right now. It's not like you're not in a place to like put a score on it or anything.
Right, clearly. Right.
But yeah, stay tuned for a lot more Splatoon stuff from Andy Cortez. But moving on from that, we have Joey Noel here. And we have Joey Yay! For a very, very specific reason. A Disney game came out in early access right now.
Correct.
It is a Stardew Valley type Disney game.
It is.
With a name that I'm going to say, not good for what this game is, but the Disney Dreamlight Valley, something about that. I'm like, all right.
It doesn't stick in your brain. I've been playing this game for like 40 hours, and every time I talk about it, I'm like, what is the actual order of the words again? It does feel like a little bit generic. But
besides the name, what's the quality?
Besides the game? Honestly, it's really good. I feel like I jumped into this very skeptically. I think I had like kind of prepared myself to get hit with some like mobile game mechanics of like really high and intrusive like microtransaction-y stuff, and like a lot of like bullshit like energy timers, which I don't find like a fun thing to play. But this game is like legitimately good, especially considering that it is in early access. It's way closer to Animal Crossing than Stardew Valley in terms of mechanics and stuff like that. It's a lot more like simple and easy. I feel like there's a lot more you have to manage in Stardew Valley with like the day night cycles and the crops and stuff like this, and this is just like a way more pared down kind of system of things. But yeah, so you Dreamlight Valley is this town. There's this thing called the Forgetting that's like this dark, misty thing that's like taken over the town, and you lose all these orbs that are around the town, and there are these thorns that have like taken over, and it essentially like makes everybody forget everything about their lives, and people leave and forget to come back, and your job is to like restore it to back to like its glory and stuff like that. So it's really fun. You have like a couple different ways that you unlock stuff. There's story quests, which is figuring out like how to get the town back. And then you have like 17 characters, I think, are in the early access. And then you level up their friendship to level 10 to figure out like their individual storylines. And then there's realms, when all of that you do like on the main map. And then there's realms, which is where you go to like these little tiny baby maps that are like specific to individual characters. And so those are all themes. So there's like Moana, and it's very islandy and stuff like that. So you're bouncing around a little bit.
I'm kind of surprised looking at this because, you know, I hear in the Stardew Valley connections and stuff, like I see the elements there, but this seems like it's more of like a third person walk around game as opposed to like the more top down thing you'd expect from a Stardew Valley like.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, I feel like it's just very similar to Animal Crossing, which is like all those same mechanics. It's not multiplayer. It's in their roadmap, though. I imagine it's less like actual multiplayer and more like you can visit each other's kind islands.
Animal Crossing dreams are flying in like an Animal
Crossing. Yeah. Like you can probably do like, there's not a lot you can, there's no terraforming. So like you can't really change a ton about the way your island looks other than decorating. You can, the thing that I do like is like all of the plants and greenery and everything outside is movable. So you could change stuff that way and put a lot of things on there, but you can't change a lot of like the landscape of what your islands look like. So I think we're gonna see some like pretty crazy island or like island decor and houses and stuff like that, but that is not my personal strength in these games. So I will leave that to people that are way more talented and at doing stuff like that. Because
Joey, the big question is, you know me and you know my obsession with Animal Crossing, would I enjoy this game even though I don't love Disney? Like, I don't hate Disney, but I just don't like love Disney.
Yeah, it has the right gameplay loop. I think one level like a little bit more complicated than Disney just because it has like farming and a cooking mechanic. I think it's a really fun puzzle for the cooking stuff because it tells you there's like five potential slots for ingredients, and then it doesn't tell you how to make anything. You just kind of have to like throw things together and figure them out yourself.
Okay.
Which I found fun. I think obviously playing this for review when nobody else is playing this, it's going to take me way longer to figure stuff out. So I'm sure people are going to fly through it once there's guides for all of these recipes, but I think it's fun to figure that out. Andy Cortez.
I saw what Tim is mentioning though. Like I would have expected any sort of Stardew Valley game or Animal Crossing game to have sort of that fixed camera top down isometric view. Are you able to switch your camera angles to anything more than just like this third person view? Because earlier we saw a camera kind of sweeping over the town. Is that like camera used in any of the building modes, or is that just like for this trailer?
That's what you use for placing furniture down. You can, and like even when you're playing, you can change like your angle completely to like get around trees and stuff like that. And when you have it in like the outdoor building mode, you can go like fully across the map. I don't know that you ever get these like full sweeping things because usually you're trying to place stuff down, but it is kind of like Sims-ish in that where you can change and move things around so you have things like very specifically.
Is there any Marvel in this, or is it just straight up Disney stuff?
Just Disney and Pixar currently. Okay. I imagine that they're probably, maybe, I don't know. I don't know how separately they keep their properties, but no.
I bet they'll do it eventually.
Yeah.
Is this one to stick with, Joe? Is this one that you're sticking with?
Yeah.
What's the longevity here?
I got the code last Tuesday and I put 40 hours in the last week, which like, realistically, I haven't done that with a game for review since Animal Crossing. Right now, I'm level 31. I have no idea what the like character level cap is. I have 4 out of the 4 realms unlocked, which are like the little like character-themed lands that you can go visit. When you go into the castle, you see like a bunch of doors that have like different symbols for different characters. And the way that they have it built out currently is you can visit 4 of them, but there's probably like 30 empty doors that are roped off. So like you can tell that they have some big plans for different realms that you can go visit. The problem with those is that, like, you kind of go visit it to get the character to come back to you, and you don't really have a reason to go back. There's not, like, a ton of, like, back and forth with that. And then I have 6 out of the 7 biomes on the map unlocked, 16 out of the 17 characters unlocked. I have 2 of them at max level 10, and then everybody else is, like, at 7 or 8. So, like, I still have, like, a good chunk of stuff left to do.
The map kind of looks like Disneyland inspired, at least with the castle and like the main street. And then just looking at what Barrett was showing a little bit, it seems like that's kind of the end of the Disneyland inspirations. And then the rest are kind of like where the worlds would be is all more like, okay, cool. Here's the Atlantis from Little Mermaid, or here's Agrabah from Aladdin. Like, is that kind of the vibe, or is there more Disneyland influence?
There's no, I feel like it's more like environments from movies than it is Disneyland. It's like, the beach, you have like the frozen ice kind of stuff. You have the forest. Like, it's not, I think the most Disneyland part of this game is the cosmetics, which you can just like find in chests and stuff like that. Plus that was like the whole point of the paid early access, is you got, there were different packs depending on what kind of things you wanted for furniture and clothing. But they do a really good job of not having it just be like, this is a Buzz Lightyear costume. They really understand the ethos of like people loving Disney bounding and having like normal outfits that are inspired by characters, so it doesn't feel like overly like branded. And they have like some really, really fun and cool pieces and stuff like that. Something that I haven't dug into is this design tool. Where you can like customize based on all these patterns and stuff like that. Sure, I was my friend Fiona was posting like a screenshot of her character. She was like, and she had this like dark blue sweater with these all these like fun stars that looked kind of like Fantasmic Mickey. I was like, oh my gosh, your sweater's so cute. Where'd you get it? She's like, no, I made it in the creator. I was like, damn. Like, I'm very excited to see what people do with it because I think it'll be fun.
How does it compare, you being such a fan of these type of games, do you think it stands up with an Animal Crossing or Stardew Valley?
I think it does. You can tell that there are people that like playing these kinds of games on the development team. When you do things like crafting and cooking, it pulls from your inventory. It doesn't have to, like your storage inventory, it doesn't have to be on your person, which is like something that's annoying about a lot of games like this. In the menus, there's something called the collection, which lists every character, every flower, every ingredient, everything that you can find on the map, and it tells you exactly what biome it's in, so you're not having to like run around and remember where to get things. The way that the fast travel works in the game is really cool. You unlock wells in each of the biome, and that's kind of where you like land when you fast travel, but you can open up the map anywhere in the game and fast travel to a well. You don't have to go like from well to well, so it's like a pretty quick movement and stuff like that. When you have items in your bags for quests, they're tagged, their quest items, when you're placing them like in the world, because sometimes you have to do some like crafting of items and place them outside, it pops them to the top of your inventory and tells them, like, it's just all of these little quality of life things that you can tell that people who play these games are like, this is what I've hated about all of these other ones that I've played, and we want to fix it. It is like early access, so like there are like kind of some janky moments. Some of the quests are a little bit weird. I feel like the game in general is so clear about so many things that some of the quests being very vague and is kind of off-putting. I didn't know if it was just me, because sometimes I'm just dumb and I can't figure it out, but I was watching other people play yesterday and today. Like Tina was playing and Ray was playing today, and they also struggled with like a lot of the same things that I did. So I think that is just like it's not clear in the gameplay. So I think they probably need to tighten some of that up. Mm-hmm.
Can you explain what one of these quests is? Like,
yeah.
Are they like fetch quests sort of things, or?
Yeah, a lot of it is like, go talk to this character and get this item from them, or I need you to collect X amount of like these flowers and then cook this syrup kind of things. The one that I had the hardest...
This is such Joey game.
I know.
Go talk to this guy, make some syrup.
I should send this to you. I took notes on this game, and there are 3.5 pages of notes that I took while I was playing this.
When Joey said, like, I don't know what the level cap is, I like to imagine the devs were like, we gotta keep making levels. He's at 31. Fuck, she's still going.
there was one where you had to like make a fish pie for Elsa, and I like kept trying, like I had all the ingredients in my thing, but they just like weren't popping, and I made a billion of those items, and then just one time I went in and it worked and stuff like that. There was a thing gotta where like Merlin's like, I know. Merlin was like, hey, we have to go investigate this crystal in this one biome. And so I was like running around with him in there and I couldn't figure out. And it was like a crystal that was just on the ground, but it looked like the normal like dig spot. So it didn't look like anything specifically different. And like just little things like that are kind of unclear. I also fucked up really hard in the order that I played this game. All of the different biomes you unlock with Dreamlight, which is like one of the like currencies in game that you get from doing. If you've played Animal Crossing, they're like Nook Miles. Essentially, you just get them for doing like little baby quests, like foraging 5 vegetables and harvesting 3 rocks and all of that kind of stuff. But they cost anywhere from like 3,000 to 10,000 Dreamlight. So I was like doing all of that on the map, and I got locked out of progression pretty fast because I didn't have some of my tools upgraded further. And I forgot that there were those like extra realms in the castle that are like pretty low level. You're I think supposed to do those first. So I didn't do those until I had every other biome on the map unlocked except for the last one. So even now there's like parts of the map I can't get to because I need to like harvest through stuff that I don't have the right pickaxe for. So don't make my mistake. Make sure you do the castle stuff early on.
Joey asked earlier, but I think you cued in on an actual mechanic rather than overall. Would I like this game as somebody who doesn't like Disney? Or doesn't not like Disney, but doesn't care that much about Disney, like isn't, you know, ride or die Disney.
I think you would still like the game. I think that it being Disney is a lot of the pull, but the game mechanics and like gameplay of itself definitely stand alone. I would say you probably don't have to play it right now. I would wait till full release next year. It's going to be like fully free to play. It'll be very interesting to see what kind of like monetization they add to it then, because right now there isn't even a way to add real money into this game
other than
the like founders pack, but you have to buy those to even get in. So it'll be interesting to see what that looks like.
Okay.
Yo, does Little Mermaid's dad, the king, he still got that penis in the crown?
So, but he's not in the game yet. Currently, I have not seen him.
He got canceled.
I can't verify any crown.
Can't penises. Be inappropriate like that, Jen. Can't be inappropriate.
You also can't date any of the characters, which I know is upsetting to some people, but like probably for the best. so I feel like that is probably like in line with the Disney brand, but I know people were.
I'm
really
sorry,
excited
Tim.
About
no. It's okay. And I don't think it was the crowd. I think it was his like house situation. You know what
I
mean?
It was his like throne.
Yeah,
it was. Oh, his throne had the penis.
It was on the cover. Yeah, it was on the cover.
Yeah, you can stop saying that word anytime you want. You know what I mean? Like, you don't need to keep saying it. But all right, Joe. Final thoughts on Disney Dreamscape Valley Disneyland dreams stuff.
Dream drop distance.
Yeah,
It's really fun. I'm surprised. I think it's really fun to play now. I think it'll be extra polished, obviously, when they do a full release. They also have like a battle pass thing in it, which I think is what's going to pull me back in. Cause I think once I'm done with the full story in these realms, I don't know that I'm going to be compelled to like keep playing the way I kind of did with Animal Crossing.
Get 3 headshots of Goofy.
No, it's essentially more of those like little mini missions, like the Nook Miles ones, where it's just like gather 3 rocks and get 4 flowers and stuff like that. So it's easy stuff to like fly through if you wanted to commit to like getting it all out. Right now it's like a Pixar themed one, so it's a lot of Cars and Coco and Incredibles. You get a cute little squirrel that's dressed up in an Incredibles outfit that can follow you around. It's pretty fun.
Awesome. You sold me, Joe. That's all it took.
There's no interest from you, is there? I mean, as the Disney, you're a Disney.
No,
fanboy.
Like
you
the thing
like
is,
these games though.
These type
yeah,
of games.
No, exactly.
Yeah, that's it. It's just it doesn't speak to me. But I mean, I think it's cool looking at the gameplay of it and hearing Joe talk about it. Like I'm happy that it seems like they nailed what they were going for, which is, hey, people love Disney and people love the Stardew Valley Animal Crossing type of game. There's a lot of overlap between those different fan groups. So I feel like putting it together and like making the game good, you saying that it's clear the dev team cares and understands the genre. Like, hey, sounds like they have a slam dunk on their hands. So we'll have to stay tuned for the full release. We'll get an update from Joe in 2023. But before we do that, I'm going to tell you about a word from our sponsors. And when we come back from that, We got a whole bunch of fun reviews, spoiler-free, and then a full spoiler cast of Immortality. This is my immortality. That's not right, but you get it. Anyway, where's the word from our sponsors?
I did not get that.
This episode is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like checking in your baggage at the airport without a lock. You don't know who's looking through all your stuff, finding all of your Nintendo Switches, your PlayStation Vitas, or all the other things that you're hiding in there. When you go online without a VPN, internet service providers, ISPs, can see every single website you visit. They can legally sell this information without your consent. Nobody wants that. That sounds like a bad time for everybody. You can browse more anonymously. It's easy to use and it works on all devices. I love ExpressVPN. It is super simple to use. I feel safe across all of my devices, knowing that whether I'm on my desktop or my mobile phone, people aren't getting in there. I'm safe on the internet, and what I look at, what I browse, that's mine. That's for me to know. Secure your online activity by visiting expressvpn.com/kindoffunny today. That's expressvpn.com/kindoffunny. And you can get an extra 3 months free. expressvpn.com/kindoffunny. Next up, shout out to Chime. Like a cool breeze, Chime is a refreshing way to handle your money. There's no monthly fees, no maintenance fees, and no minimum balance fees. So it's how banking should be done. And when you need access to your money, you can do so fee-free at more than 60,000 in-network ATMs at many locations like most Walgreens or 7-Elevens. You can also send money to anyone, even if they aren't on Chime. Fee-free for you and no cash out fees for them. Chime, no monthly fees, no vibe killing fees. Sign up for a Chime checking account. It only takes 2 minutes and it doesn't affect your credit score. You can get started at chime.com/kfgames. That's chime.com/kfgames. Chime is a financial technology company, not a bank. Banking services provided by a debit card issued by the Bancorp Bank or Stride Bank NA. Members FDIC. Out of network ATM withdrawal fees apply, except at MoneyPass ATM in a 7-Eleven location and at all Allpoint or Visa Plus Alliance ATM. Other fees such as third-party and cash deposit fees may apply. Chime.com/KFGames.
Hello there, everybody. Yes, it's the second half of the Kinda Funny Games cast. I'm still Greg. That's still Blessing. But this time, we finally got some talent in here. Welcome from IGN.com, Rebecca Valentine.
Woo! Well, howdy!
Hello, Rebecca. How are you?
Oh, my gosh. It is hot. It is way too hot in the Bay Area right now, but I've just played an incredible video game, so I'm feeling all
right. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. If you missed the first half, which I hope we stressed because we haven't recorded that yet, and I'm not sure, this is going to be both your spoiler-free review for Immortality, Sam Barlow's new game, and then a mini spoiler cast where we finally get to talk to somebody about all the fucking weird-ass shit we just saw. So if you haven't played Immortality yet, stick around, hear why you should probably, and then, of course, if you haven't played it, turn it off and come back to it later when we get there. But don't worry for the first part. No spoilers, all right? No spoilers to start with. Of course, Immortality, the brand new game, like I said, from Half Mermaid. If you're not familiar with that studio, think of Sam Barlow, the guy who made Her Story in 2015 and Telling Lies in 2019. This is a FMV video. We just go through, we scrub through a bunch of collections of old tapes from old movies, some of which were never released, wink, wink, to try to figure out what happened to a woman named Marissa. Blessing Adeoye Jr.
Greg.
You were the first person from Kinda Funny to get to play this because of I was on vacation, even though I was looking forward to this one. And I'm really pissed off that I did not remember to put it into my fantasy critic. I thought I had, and then I did not. So it sucks all around, but it doesn't matter. Blessing, what is your spoiler-free review of Immortality?
It's fantastic. You know, if you've played Her Story, if you play Telling Lies, you've already gotten a hint of what kind of game this is, right? It's in the same vein where it is you sifting through a database of clips based off of... Based off of keywords, essentially, right? Where in Her Lies and in Telling, or in Her Story and in Telling Lies, you're basically searching through the database based on captions, figuring out like, all right, what keywords are the keywords that I want to look for that are in the other clips, so I can piece together this story that is scattered throughout these different small clips of videos. This game is similar to that, where instead of captions, though, you're working off of imagery in the game. So at any point in any frame or in any video, you can pause and frame by frame and go, all right, what is a subject in this frame that might take me to a different video that I want to go to? And you can click on a face, you can click on an object, any major face or object. And basically what happens is you go from your clip into another clip that shares that same subject. So if I'm playing and I see, like, if Greg Miller's in the game, and I see Greg Miller's face, I click Greg Miller's face in the clip that I'm watching, and then I jump into another random clip that has Greg Miller's face in it. And so with that, you're piecing together this story of, again, Marissa Marcel, who is this actress who disappeared for a while, and you're going in with the mind frame of, all right, let's figure out what happened to Marissa Marcel by watching all these different takes, these movie takes, and also these outtakes from her time working on these three different films that never saw the light of day. And so it's a pretty fun, like, it's a pretty fun premise because the game contextualizes it as, oh yeah, Sam Barlow and the team have given you the software to put together this thing and figure it out. And it feels like this breaking the fourth wall of, oh, it's reality. Like, you are playing this video editor. The more you play it, though, the more things start to open up. And the more, like, the more you start to piece together bits of, like, maybe like 4 to 5 different narratives that are going on between
all,
like,
at once,
all at once, right? Between these different films that are taking place, but then also what's going on with Marissa Marcel as a human being and as an actress. It's really fascinating. I'm very excited to talk to you guys once we get into, like, deeper spoilers, because the tricky thing about reviewing this game is you can't really talk about the things that make this game wild slash incredible without diving into deeper details. But from a broad spectrum, like, I love it for the writing. I love it for the performances. I think the actors do a great job, especially the actors that play the actress that plays Marissa Marcel, I think absolutely kills it. But the whole cast, I think, does a really good job.
Manon Gage is her name.
Oh, is it Manon Gage?
Manon, M-A-N-O-N.
Yeah, she is incredible. And we'll get into reasons that is soon. A big reason is because she's playing a bunch of different roles at the same time.
Bless you put up a TikTok for this. You gave it a 5 out of 5, correct?
I gave it a 5 out of 5. It is an amazing video game.
Rebecca Valentine, I am a big fan of yours and have been for quite some time. Some would say I found you, diamond in the rough, and that's how you got to IGN. I don't know who's saying it, but I say it. I saw you tweet over the weekend. Thank you much. When I was playing this and assembling the games cast, I saw you tweet about how much you were into it. I think even going as far as say it's going to be hard to beat for a narrative, right, for Game of the Year. Is that correct? Do you give it a 5 out of 5?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I find it very difficult to go into Game of the Year discussions this year in any capacity, because I was so convinced that Elden Ring would take it away for me, like, very easily. And this is just like, this has broken my brain. It's so good. But the two of them are not even competing in the same contest. Like they're two completely different things. So it feels illegal to try to compare the two in the same Game of the Year discussion, because they're not remotely the same thing. I agree with basically everything Blessing just said. The acting is incredible throughout. I think the thing that is, like, so amazing is that Sam Barlow and crew have effectively they have made 3 full length short films here, like full start to finish, and it takes place over a lot, like a 30 year span. So the first two films kind of take place back to back, and then 30 years later the third one appears, and they did a really good job. I mean, I'm not a film expert, but they did a really good job of sort of recreating the period elements of
for
film
sure.
In each of the three, everything from, like, aspect ratio to like what kinds of effects they would have access to. And that's really fascinating to sort of scrub through these different clips and feel there are moments in, especially the first one, which is based on a late 1700s Gothic novel that I read in college, which is absolutely a weird thing that I never thought would come up again. It's really fascinating to jump into that one and actually feel for a moment like, oh, I'm watching this really old movie. This is so weird. Oh, wait, it's not actually an old movie. But then it's all interspersed with, like, documentary footage and random clips that they just did behind the scenes themselves. And
interviews or, like, the camera kept rolling.
It feels very real. They did such a good job of making this feel very much like a giant set of found footage.
Was there any point while you guys were playing where you're like, was this a real story? I didn't, like, you look at, because I, for me, in the first 10 minutes of playing, I was like, all right, I think this is fake, but the way in which they're presenting it and, like, getting into some of the performances, it is the thing of every single clip that you're seeing in the game is, like, a found footage or, like, an actual movie take. Like, most of it is actual movie takes. And so it starts off with somebody on screen doing the front slate, somebody yelling action, and then the scene taking place, and then somebody yelling cut. And a lot of the times, right, like, right before the video cuts, it is them in their natural selves. And so those transitions are so seamless and so good that it got me. I was like, is this real? Because this feels real.
Yeah. There was this one moment where they had, like, a little bit of footage from before the scene started, and there was a naked body, and, like, 3 people were staring at it to start the scene, and they were all kind of, like, giggling about seeing this person naked. And then they said action, and everyone just immediately went stone face because they're looking at a dead body. And it was just such a very acting moment. Like, yeah, I don't think I ever had a moment where I thought, oh, is this actually real? But I played it with Imran at the same time, and we were definitely having a lot of conversations about what levels of real are we talking about here? What bits of this are we supposed to construe as real? And that was such a fun time. Yeah.
Well, that's the funny thing of going and playing it, right, and trying to piece together the story of what happened to her is that, yes, obviously it's the found footage and the interviews. But for me, when I started into it, like early on, you know, just the beginning of my playthrough, I'm going through and matching and, you know, getting the footage. And it's not so much, I'd be watching the story parts and be like, all right, we'll get to the before and after, you know, get to what happens before and what happens then, because I'm trying to find out what happened to her. Mm-hmm. And then it's later on when it's like, oh, there's more going on with the stories that they're trying to tell in these movies that then relate to what's actually happening to her and where she is. I'm like, okay, I see. You have to like recontextualize a bunch of different times, as we will get into in spoilers, what was going on for the game.
Yeah, and it just oozes with like symbolism and metaphor too, like especially with the cut technique where you're like grabbing the zooming in on an object and then jumping to another scene in one of the three films. It forces you to do literary criticism things like consider symbols and consider what they mean in the context of three different films plus the overarching meta narrative.
To that point, right, this is both like funny but also serious, where I've mentioned to Greg and other friends about how I would do like booby supercuts where like I was like, all right, I'm just going to click on titties for the next 5 minutes and see where all these clips take me. And that part of that is like, oh, yeah, I'm having fun. I'm doing a bit. But also, like, sex plays a very big part of one of the overall themes of the game slash all these films, right? Like, all the films that she's that Marissa Marcel is playing a role in, like, there are either heavy sex scenes or, like, depictions of, like, sexuality in certain ways are important to the films. And so I'm like, all right, cool. Let's see all the nudity. Because all the nudity, like, the more I click on titties, the more I'm going to get more of this aspect of the game. And that feeds back into things like crosses as well, where I saw there was one character that has, like, a cross-like item. And I was like, cool, I'm just going to keep on clicking that so I can, like, see where all these, like, religious imagery might link together. And so you're looking at it all. I started contextualizing it through taking film class back in college, because there was a time where there were a couple of classes I took. One of the first ones was Hitchcock, and so it was us making our way through all the Hitchcock films, and I actually grew to really enjoy Hitchcock films after a while taking that class. But like, there are certain things in terms of like the tone, the wit, the I guess overall vibe of the films, and maybe it is like the auteur thing of, oh yeah, these films belong to this guy, right? It is his vision. He is like trying to say something with it, and the films can feel Hitchcockian sometimes, in ways that I think really work for me, but also kind of go back to, oh yeah, what are they saying? Like, what are the deeper elements of what they're trying to convey in these films, and the way that these films link together that feels very film classy.
Yeah.
And I think that's the big takeaway from it, right, is like, you know, to Reb's point of like, this and Elden Ring aren't even playing in the same category, let alone the same game or the same stadium, right, when you talk about it, is like what the expectations for you as a player slash viewer are in this and where you're going with it, right? I am a huge Sam Barlow fan. I loved her story. I love Telling Lies. And for this one, full stop, I love Immortality. Like, it's I love a game that you finish and it's like, you credits roll and then immediately back into it.
Yep.
Wait, I need to know more. I love the fact that when we get me and Bless still haven't talked. There was a few texts over the weekend of me being like, is it? But like, it wasn't, we haven't had the conversations around it or whatever. I love it being a discussion point. For me, with a review score on it, right, I give it a 4 out of 5. I think it's great, not amazing. And that even saying it doesn't sound right, because it's an amazing game. But the problem I have with it when I want to go through and talk about it as a player rather than a viewer, rather than a consumer, I guess, just to put us all in the same category, is that I enjoyed the detective work of her story and Telling Lies more than, I would say, the guesswork is an insult, the nebulous nature of this one, of Immortality. Because in this one, it's like, for me in particular, and this isn't a spoiler, it's actually the very front of the game when you start it, and then some of the footage you just saw is them doing like screen tests on a stool, right? And so when I unlocked one of the actress's screen tests, it was the first one I got there. And I was like, oh my God, yes, this is going to be such a big point, because now she leaves the frame and it's just the stool, which is the start screen of the game. So now I'm going to click on the stool and I'm going to see something from Marissa. And I clicked on the stool and it just took me to a random chair and another, you know, the movie 30 years later or whatever. And it was that thing of like, Okay, that wasn't as rewarding to me as when it was playing Telling Lies and somebody said a word and I followed up on that. Or her story going into the complete database and putting in a name and then finding something. And I felt like that's how this game exists and operates, not as a negative, like I'm talking about just my own preference for it, but in the way it is, like you're on a journey here. And even though you're using your discovery and you're clicking on, you know, the prop gun, or you're clicking on, you know, the vase or the character, right? Even the fact that you can click on the actor's face over and over again in the same scene in the same moment and get taken to different places is cool, but it's kind of got this like Quantum Leap vibe to it that I wish I had a little bit more oomph on, more I could drive what I was trying to get to. I'm trying to get to this answer, and it at times was off-putting that I didn't get there.
This is not a counter to your experience.
No, please, I want to hear your experience.
Because I think you're right. Okay.
Insult me, Reb. I love it.
No. It's spoiler. I'm trying to avoid spoilers here. So this is something I suspect. I do not know if it is true. I got the impression. I have not played Telling Lies or Her Story, but I got the impression from both of those that you can access pretty much anything throughout the entire game if you know the right thing to look for.
Right.
I think immortality might have some sort of gated algorithm in it. I think there are scenes that Marissa, like if I click on Marissa, there's, you know, a pool of scenes, pretty much every scene includes her, there's a pool of scenes you can draw from and it'll throw me a random one or whatever. But I suspect that there are some scenes that are gated that it will not show me unless I have seen others or discovered certain things. I do not know if that is true, but I did definitely run into sort of the problem that I think you're describing, which is that there was like an hour of gameplay where I knew I had like two specific questions that I knew I had to answer, and I felt like I was on the cusp of answering them, and I thought I knew what I was looking for, and so I was scrubbing through clips of like the same person or the same item over and over trying to find it, and those were coming up with nothing. And that's because that's not where the answer was, even though intuitively it felt like it should have been.
And in the live chat, Cameron Kennedy, who's watching on Patreon, says, I agree with that part. It was annoying trying to get to things logically, but not being able to.
Yeah. And I think the answer ended up being, again, I'm guessing because I can't see the inner workings of this game.
Of course.
I think the answer ended up being that it was there. I just hadn't seen some other specific clue, and I had to come to it in a roundabout manner. And I think in the end, that experience did work for me in terms of the order in which I uncovered things. Like, I think I had a good, complete experience. But your experience lines up with something that I've heard other people say, too, where if you can get in a rut.
I feel that too, right? Like, it's been interesting seeing people put out their different play times for the game. Where I was during the review embargo, there were quite a few people that are like, "Oh yeah, I beat this in 4 to 5 hours," and I'm sitting there like, "Dude, I am 9 hours in. How in the world did you roll credits? Like, I have so much of these films unlocked here." And it would be the thing of me kind of understanding where I need to go, so much to you guys of, okay, well, if I click on this thing, like this tape recorder, I'm sure it'll take me to the climax of this movie, and I click it and I'm like, okay, no, it took me somewhere else that isn't as important as what I need in this moment. Or even more so, you know, there are certain character faces that there's a certain character in the first movie where I was like, oh, all right, this guy's important. Let me I'm going to keep clicking on his face to see like all the things,
because exactly he's going to be key. About.
And like, it took me to 3 clips and I was like, are these just the 3 clips that have this guy? Like, is there no more? And that felt like such a vital thing. And I couldn't tell if that was by design of, no, it really is only 3 clips with this guy, or the algorithm just isn't taking me to the clip I need to go. I think for me, that in terms of the actual, like, quote unquote, gameplay of the game, that would be one of my few critiques with it.
Yeah. I also will say I played on Xbox, and I think everybody should play with a controller. If you're on Xbox or PC, we can talk more about this in the spoiler cast, but please, please, please play with a controller.
Oh,
dear God.
That's a great question. Yeah. I don't even know how they would do that. There's a vibration function.
So I played on Steam Deck, some of it on Steam. I played most of it on controller, but like when I was playing on my Steam Deck, the vibration on Steam Deck isn't as hard as the vibration on controller. And there were moments where I was like, I'm just going to play this on controller instead, because I'm missing out on like some of the mechanics, basically.
Yeah. Please play on controller.
For Steam Deck users, is there a setting where you can turn vibration up at all?
I didn't see it in the game itself. I don't know if it's like maybe on the actual system there might be a setting, but I haven't
just
whatever,
for those who want to play
it handheld,
possibly, you know.
In the chat, David Goldstein says that if you're playing on PC, the sound makes a rumble, so you could hear it like that way.
Interesting.
If you want to know what a fucking stupid idiot I am, because some of the rumbles go on a while. Early on in the game, when I'm talking about the first hour probably of playing, like there was one section where it was just rumbling like the entire scene, and I was like, God damn, rumble's broken in this game.
See, so that's the thing. I will say on the Xbox version, even though that is absolutely the best way, the controller is the best way to play the Xbox version. It did have some technical blips. There were times where it would just rumble through the whole scene, and that there was no reason for it. Like genuinely no reason for it. I checked many times. Or it crashed a few times for me. It was never an actual impediment to progress because it auto saves pretty well. But it was like mildly annoying. There's some weird technical blips in it here and there.
Yeah, the rumble stuff is interesting, and we'll talk about more spoilers. But there's like when I would scroll through the clips, just like looking through the database, there would be times where like I get to certain clips and it starts rumbling, and my controller starts rumbling, and I'm like, does this mean anything? And I'm like, and I click away and I click back, and the rumble's not there, and I'm like, oh, it's just inconsistent. And I just chalk that up to being maybe part of the world building here. Like, you don't know what might be a meaningful rumble versus a not meaningful rumble. But yeah, in terms of like bugs, there's only one I got, which is my UI for my sifting through the database screen would stick after a while to my UI when I'm actually scrubbing through the scenes themselves. Footage. Yeah, the footage. So I'll click into a footage and I'll still see the dialogue, or not the dialogue, the button prompts at the bottom right of the screen. And I'm like, wait, no, that's not right. And then I realize that it's from the other thing. And that sticked on my game for like multiple instances. Like, I closed the game, open back up, and it was still there. And it wasn't until I beat the game to where it was gone. And then I was like, oh, what if that's part of like the fourth wall, like weird shit going on? But I don't know. That was one weird thing.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, it's about time for spoilers. But before we do, just to close it out, we all love the game. It's getting rave reviews everywhere. Reb, what's your elevator pitch for why people should play it?
I will first really quick just say you should not play this. There's big, look through the content warnings before you play this. A lot of sex, a lot of nudity, sexual assault. Like there's a lot in here. And if you are uncomfortable with any of that, like don't touch it, because there's a lot. Apart from that, I don't think I have ever played any game that has justified being the story it's telling being a video game as much as this has. The interaction that you have with what's going on, and the way it plays with the idea of the player and the audience and the artist and the creator, I've never seen anything like that. And if you're really into weird meta stuff or thinking about games as an art form beyond just, oh, games are pretty and should be art, this is it. You should just do it.
Bless.
Yeah, I think bouncing off of what Reb just said, right? Like, I think the gameplay of this game is actually really addicting. You know, I think a lot of people will look at this game and at first blush go, oh, it's FMV. Oh, you're really going to talk about it in Game of the Year discussions. Like, oh, you know, you're just watching stuff. But no, I this is one of the most addicting video game experiences I played all year. And that is chalked up to how good it plays as an activity, right? As this detective thing, as a puzzle that you're trying to solve and collect all the clips and figure out like how to game the system and link to all the clips of titties or whatever it is that you're trying to like search for the moment and try for the answer you're trying to get, right? I think the actual gameplay is good, right? I've had it where for games I've played even recently, like one of my complaints for We Are OFK is that I felt like there was like zero gameplay in that game. Like, you're making the choices and the choices don't matter. And so I'm like, oh, okay, well, I don't feel I don't feel the overall ownership in what I'm doing.
For sure.
This is a game that has entire ownership, right? This is a video game ass video game, but it's FMV and it's film and it's something that's really cool and really unique. And for me, this is, while also being one of the most addicting video games I played, also one of the freshest. And that is, even though it is coming off of both Her Story and Telling Lies, I think this game does enough to make itself stand alone, stand differently. And I think there's so much amount of quality in the actual narrative and symbolism and acting and performances that goes into this thing. And it's unlike anything else I've ever played. And so for me, this game is going to be in my top five conversation. We'll see at the end of the year how everything lays out. But I think it is a must play of a video game.
Yeah, I echo everything you both have said, and then just add in that it's so fucking weird. And like in such a great way, in such a way, like to what Reb's point is, I think that, you know, only games something like this could do. And the fact that it is such an immersive thing of us being, this is always the, I guess, the thing it feels like, especially this is the big thing about Her Story. And if you remember the very last frame of Her Story, right? It's such an immersive thing of making you part of it when you should feel so disconnected from it. when you are just sitting there watching footage, it should feel like the most similar to what we're talking about with OFK. You're just like, okay, I have no skin in this game. I have no stakes in this game. It's not about me. And the way this game of going through and trying to find out what happened to Marissa makes you a key component of it is insane. And how good it is. And then if you're like me and love storytelling in games, this is such a unique way to do it. Has so many different questions, so many different threads. Like, you got to go play it. And as we haven't even, you said at the top, kind of in one of the passing things of, it's on PC right now and it's on Xbox, including Xbox Game Pass. So if you have the best deal in gaming, you should go get it there. But enough of that. That was your chance, ladies and gentlemen. We love Immortality. You should play it, and then you should come back and listen to the spoiler cast. It's starting in 3, 2, 1. Rebecca Valentine.
What the fuck?
What the fuck do you think is happening in this game, Reb?
Well, I feel this a lot. A thing a lot of people have said about Immortality is it's a game that you can. There's an ending. The credits roll. But there's also it ends when you are satisfied with what you know. And I did not unlock every single clip, but I actually feel like I have a pretty good grasp start to finish of what just happened.
Okay. So that's a great place to start. Cause again, I was on vacation when we got codes. I was on a family vacation. I came back and played and I want to make sure we're here. I've rolled credits and then I've come back and played more and found more. And according to Xbox achievements, it'll tell you, you know, how far you are for each one of them. So for unlocking all the footage for all the movies, I think the farthest one in is Ambrosia with like 73%, and then the other two are right around 60.
Oh, this will be fun. Okay.
I have so many questions. Yeah.
Greg, so have you encountered the one?
Of course. Yes. Okay. And the other one. Yeah.
And the other one.
Yeah.
So what we're talking about is there, as you play through the rumble that we were discussing in the no spoiler cast, it will start to rumble. There might be this creepy tone. And when that happens, you can rewind. And a couple of different things will happen. Sometimes it'll just drop you into a whole other scene with this couple of really creepy people saying and doing real creepy things. And sometimes there'll be like this overlay, like this kind of like weird grayed out overlay of one of the creepy people kind of like turning around or seeming to say something. Greg, did you discover both of these mechanics?
Oh yeah. Yes.
You found the slow, like the way you have to kind of modulate the speed to unlock the extra scenes.
Yeah.
So
specifically Amy's, right? That was the one that's like the most fucked up, I thought.
So I didn't know. I didn't figure that out till yesterday after you had already asked me to be on this. Like I knew there was something else. Like I'd already beaten the game. I knew there was something else. And I started messing. Like I was in a scene that I was trying to get it to do something. And I was like rewinding back to try to get a good look at something. And I started like flipping back and forth really quick, and suddenly the image got really clear, and it just broke my brain, and suddenly I had access to about a gajillion more scenes that I didn't have before. Yep. And I solved like 20 more mysteries. Sorry, I'm just like
That was it, because that's the thing. And so I know I'm very similar, where I think it's last night I got the tap tap tap, and that's how I got into other stuff, and I was like, oh okay. So I haven't gone, I still have a bunch of the interview segments or whatever, where she's, for me, it was just, you know, the footage on top of footage, and I saw her talking or dancing or whatever, and I haven't gone back to be able to clarify those yet. So there's still stuff for me out there. And so I'm left with the question, and you know the story start to finish, you think then, Reb? So what's roughly the deal? Like, it's she's Eve, he's the devil. Blessing, when it first happened, I thought there was just the one woman, I was like, she's a demon. And then I was like, wait, are they inspiration? Are they muses? And is that how it's going on? But then
they're for sure muses. But it goes back further than that.
But how? Okay, so then you would know this from the thing, because I don't know this from the thing. So when they're a muse, how are they? I mean, they're immortal, sure, but how does Marissa never age? Was Marissa ever a person and they took control of her? Because when you find out about Amy got taken control of watching the other one die, right?
Yeah.
And that really fucking, I watched him die on screen and I was reborn. I was like, Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah. Fucking cool. Like when I was right before the show, I was mentioning that, like, you know, if we do a moment of the year category for game of the year, like this game is going to have moments of the year in it. And I think that's one of the ones for me where that, like, that might be a video game moment of the year where you get into that screen and she's sitting there, and like, because that was one of the late discoveries for me. Like, I had figured out the like the subversion, like the weird like layered shit going on with the films pretty early on. And so like probably in, like, what, after maybe 3 or 4 hours. And so most of my game time has been me discovering new clips, and then like as I'm discovering them, rewinding and rewatching the clips and like seeing the different versions of them. But Oh, man, I forgot where I was going with it. I was like, I got so excited, I forgot my point. Fuck, I forgot where I was going. Never mind.
Moment of the year. We were talking about the rewinds of the moments of the year that we wanted.
Moments of the year.
It'll come back around.
It'll come back around.
I watched that on screen and I was reborn.
Oh, yes. Okay, so like I played so much of the game without like getting to that scene because I found that scene later on. But I had watched quite a bit of Two of Everything, which is the third movie in the trio.
And all these movies, I'm like, fuck, I want to watch that. I hope they eventually just put them out as real movies somehow.
Yeah. Like they're pretty good. But I'd seen her face a lot and I didn't put it together that she was the other one until that scene where it was her sitting in the theater. And I was like, fuck, there's like the other one is in other movies. And then that's when I went back to Ambrosio. And it was that thing I was talking about earlier, Reb, of like him being the guy who's playing the devil in Ambrosio. And me being like, wait, what the fuck? And then like clicking, trying to find him in more. And it seems like he's not in that much of Ambrosio, but he's like populating more and more as like the time goes. Crazy shit.
So my understanding of them is that they are these immortal beings. There's a monologue that the one has at one point where she talks about the conflict between law and art. And my understanding is that she represents art, like the creative, and the other guy represents law. And law like hates humanity and doesn't want anything to do with them, and she loves humanity and wants to like elevate them by becoming a muse. And she's done this throughout history. There's actually some clips you can find where you can see some of her past selves prior to the events of these three films. You can see like some people that she controlled for a while, and there's a clip you can find. Marissa was a woman who lived around the time of World War II. She had some really shitty things happen to her, and the one basically found her dying in a barn and basically said, hey, you want to live? And she's like, yeah, and consumed her and took her form. And then, you know, eventually like discovered movies and was like, oh, this is exactly how I can do what I want to do. And so she tried to manipulate the first director, Arthur, what's his name? The director of Ambrosio.
The shitty guy.
She tried to like manipulate him, but and get him to like, you know, try to become his muse. But that didn't quite work out. Then she found John in Minsky, and it worked out very, very well until the other one showed up to try to foil her plans to like elevate humanity by taking over Carl, the guy who died. And so they kind of had there's like this really cool scene where she realizes that Carl is housing the other one, and basically like lose. That's when their chemistry on screen breaks.
Is that when they sit next to each other on the couch? Because I love that scene.
The one where John and Carl kiss. It's the one where she's like, whoa.
Okay, because for me, I just want to say there's that amazing scene between Marissa and Carl, right? Where they're sitting on the couch and he's got the makeup on, and it's in movie. Maybe I can turn off that. The detective's your first name. I'm really this. I don't have to do it. You can do that. But right before that, there's the whole like, work with me, will you? Like, work with me on this. Yes, and it's like,
that's right after she's figured it out.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm putting this together in real time because I didn't understand that scene because I got it early on. Yeah. And now that we're rebringing it up, I'm like, oh, that makes so much sense. My question was going to be like, when did the other one take over Carl? Like, was that the whole thing, or was it the scene where they kissed?
So he takes over Carl. I'm not clear as to whether he takes over Carl in that moment or if he had always taken over Carl and that was the moment where he showed himself, because I'll point it out later, but there's actually another moment later where he's in Amy and you can clearly tell that she's recognizing, oh, you're in Amy now. And then after that point, she can see him in Amy, but not before that point. But anyway, so that happens. She's controlling Marissa. So she forces Marissa to kill the other one. And she has another monologue at a different point where the one explains that you can't really kill their kind except by burning them. And so she shoots Carl, but that doesn't kill the other one. So there's implication in some of her lines that Marissa has the body, or sorry, no, not Marissa. So she, after what happens to Carl, Marissa like freaks out, the person, because she just killed a man and doesn't know how it happened.
So that's part of my question then. So they're both inhabiting at the same time. And then obviously I know that like, when you do the rewind, I see, of course, the muse or whatever. I'm going to call her the muse. We see her, see her on top with the gun. We see the conversation between her and the other one. Like, I get that. But so they are existing at the same time, and Marissa knows what's going on or doesn't know what's going on. That's where I was, like, confused of, like, what's happening.
I don't know if it's clear that Marissa, the person, understands what's happening, but she clearly knows something messed up is going on. And then she shoots Carl. She forces Marissa to shoot Carl, and then later has Carl cremated so that the other one cannot come back. And then the one is done with Marissa. And you see this scene where she consumes John, the director She like kind of like vampires.
It's the one where he's on the bed, right, bound to it, and they have the whole conversation about like, you weren't who I thought you were, and da-da-da.
Wait, yeah. What? I never got this scene. What the
oh,
fuck?
Oh yeah. So okay. So the one real, this is before she kills Carl. The one realizes that the other one is in Carl. She and John are like, you know, doing it, having a lovely time, and they're
is this
they have,
in film or off film?
I think they're rehearsing for a film.
They're rehearsing. Okay.
Or maybe they're on camera, obviously, but I can't remember.
It's rehearsal and then it's a rewind backwards where we see them.
Yeah. But they're basically, they're having this sex scene, and then the one reveals herself to John and is like, hey, actually, I'm an immortal demon, basically. And John is like, that's not cool. What the heck? And the one is like, oh, I thought, like, she's basically like,
this isn't going the way I thought it was. She says that.
Right? Yeah, I'm your muse, whatever. And he isn't happy with what is going on. And so she ends up like biting into his neck and devouring him. And at that point, she is in control of both Marissa and John.
I definitely saw some of the aftermath. I remember seeing like John laid on the floor bloody, and also Carl bloody.
Yeah,
but that might have been just like one of those reverse, like,
there's
oh
like a
yeah,
museum scene
aftermath
where you can see both of them like torn up. It's really freaky.
Yeah.
But so she lets Marissa go. Marissa is like horribly traumatized, and that's when Marissa disappears for 30 years. She becomes a recluse, and so at that point the one is inhabiting John. There's a talk show segment where you can see her inhabiting John. John is married to Amy, who's the woman who watches it in the theater. And at some point while they are together, Minsky is never released, but John apparently gives the clips to Amy and lets her watch them like in a private showing in a theater. And at the moment at the end where the other one is shot, the other one, she sees that, and then the other one possesses her. And this is a new finding. This is not something the one or the other one knew that they could do. The one thought that she had permanently killed the other one by burning Carl's body. What she didn't know is that he could come back through film and inhabit Amy. So John goes off, the one as John goes off to have a glorious career as a filmmaker for like 30 years. He starts working with Amy on what will eventually become Two of Everything, but it's not going well. Like something's just not working. And so the one decides, I need Marissa back. So they bring Marissa back to be in it. And at that point, she's controlling both Marissa and John at the same time. Two of Everything goes for a while, and it gradually starts to deteriorate because the one realizes that they are deeply struggling to control both bodies at the same time. And you can kind of see there's like some scenes toward the end of Two of Everything where John is like fainting randomly, or Marissa has like blood coming out of her nose, yeah, or like things are just not working. And so things just start falling apart. There's a lot of like monologues that the one explains as to why they're getting really sick of doing this. They're like really tired. Like, you know, immortality is exhausting.
Yeah.
All these different reasons for their motivations, but eventually the one has had enough. And there's a scene where they reconnect with the other one, where they look at each, like, Marissa looks at Amy and they look at each other and they realize, oh, wait, you're there. Okay. They reconnect. And that is ultimately why the other one kills the one. It's at the one's request, burns their body, so that they can't come back, but they can come back in a new elevated form.
And it's us.
Through
us.
Film, and it's us. And there you go. That's the plot.
What a fucking game. What a fucking story. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Did you guys catch the part about the one talking about essentially being Jesus on the cross?
Oh yeah,
because like the whole thing being like, oh yeah, like I want to tell the greatest story, right? I want to elevate humanity by telling an incredible story. And she starts describing like being killed on the cross, and then being behind the boulder, and then like being dead for 3 days, and then coming back, and like, yeah, they said awesome. That I ascended, but like really, I was just here. I was like, dude, this is fucking incredible. Like they crafted this entire tale that spans throughout history that like reconnects into them discovering film, and now like being able to use this to then have that layer of, oh yeah, through film we can be immortal. Like film is the path through immortality.
A new type of immortality that's better than what they had before.
Yeah, incredible,
incredible. Yeah. You know what I mean? Great job, Reb.
What order did you guys play the game in? Because for me, I started off with one of the talk show ones where it's Marissa talking to the talk show host and like him asking her about like, oh yeah, you look young. Like, oh yeah, like, you know, there are so many different actresses considered, like you got the part, like yada yada yada. And then immediately I went into Minsky and got super into Minsky, and then like from Minsky, I hopped into Ambrosio, and right now for Minsky and Ambrosio, I have a lot of clips unlocked. Two of Everything, I'm missing.
Oh wow,
probably like a third, I imagine. Like compared to everything else, I'm missing a lot of Two of Everything, but Minsky and Ambrosio, I dove deep.
See, I mean, maybe I misspoke earlier. I think it's no, it's Ambrosio that I'm missing a lot of. because Minsky and Two of Everything for some reason came easier for me. I don't know why. And then Two of Everything, I was actually really into what the story they were doing of this whole, like, you know, she's, you know, fills in for her here, and then this leads to that, and then she can't swim, and I was like, oh fuck, all right, I see where we're going with this. This is dynamite, you know what I mean? Like, I was having a fun time with that one. But I really, honestly, I was so, I just went with wherever the clip took me.
Same, yeah.
Whatever I jumped to the next thing is what I was doing. I wasn't trying to put together certain things. It wasn't until the end, now the after credits, where I'm like, fuck, I'm missing this scene. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I want to know, what's her name? The Italian actress who's Marissa's co-star in Ambrosio. I still haven't pieced it together. Sophia? And you can just tell me, Reb, since you're so much smarter than me. Why is she crying in the church during the monologue? There's a monologue from the pulpit, but yeah, it's a one shot of her, and she starts crying, and the director's like, oh, fuck, she's crying. And I'm like, I'm clicking on tears, and I'm clicking on eyeballs, and I can't figure out what the fuck's going on.
I think that's less of a deeper point and more just like a character thing. She describes herself in one of the clips as being like a very good little Catholic girl, and yeah. I got the impression throughout that film that, like, that speech specifically was, I mean, as a good little Catholic girl myself formerly, I definitely got the impression of like, oh, I'm in this movie with like tons of sex in it. Okay. And have I betrayed my values? That was what I got out of that. Like, I don't know if it was, it was just like a person having a real human moment.
Okay.
In reaction to a speech. I don't know if there was something deeper than that there.
I thought I missed a scene where something bad had happened to her that put her onto this emotional spectrum that she was like, loses it because of what he was saying, and I couldn't figure it out.
No, I don't think, but I could be wrong. I mean, I haven't seen, I've seen like 95% of all three films, but I'm still missing at least a couple clips of each.
Yeah. Yeah, I could probably tell you like the most of the story of Ambrosio from front to back, most of the story of Minsky from front to back, but for Two of Everything, there's still quite a few gaps, right? Like, I understand the broad premise of it, right? It being like this, I was gonna say Freaky Friday, it's not Freaky Friday,
parent
but like
trap.
Parent Trap situation, yeah, of like, oh yeah, two of you guys are doing,
or Dave, body double. If you want a more modern adult version.
Dave, like,
remember Dave, Sigourney Weaver and Kevin Klein?
Oh, I was thinking
president,
of like,
president has like a brain aneurysm or whatever, so they get the guy who looks like president to stand in for him.
I was thinking the Little Dicky Show on FX.
Oh yeah, that also, that, no, this is a different idea of a plot, but yes.
Exactly. Two of Everything is especially difficult to mentally piece together because it is also extremely like all over the place. Like, there's multiple revelations as to who, which Maria is which.
But I love that. I love when you're watching and I'm trying to figure out what's going on.
You see it in, you're like, wait, so Maria died? No.
Heather
died? No. Did Marie? No. Wait, who? Which died? What?
That was messing me up so hard. Whereas Minsky, I was in it from the beginning. Like, I think I started off with the perfect clip of Minsky because the first clip I got was the detective character, right? Carl is a detective walking into the room and like first coming across Marissa's character and being like, oh, you're his muse, and doing all, and like giving her that preliminary interview. Mm-hmm. For me, that was like, that's basically the premise of the movie. And I was like, oh, I'm into this. All right, cool. Let's keep going. And the way I went about it, from probably like the first half of my playthrough, I was more invested in the actual stories of the movies than I was the overarching thing. I was like, I don't know, man, this detective thing is cool. So I started clicking on the faces of the people doing the front slates.
The crew.
The crew, because they didn't keep people between those between movies for the movie crew. And so, like, I don't think they ever gave her a name, but like the black girl, she was always doing the slates for Minsky, whereas like there was a specific dude who was always doing the slates for Ambrosio. So I just kept on focusing in on those guys because I was really invested. I'm very impressed by the writing of, like, obviously the overarching stuff is fascinating and like cool and all that shit. The actual movies themselves, I'm like, dude, we've mentioned this before, I would watch this, dude. Like, Ambrosio seems like a fucking dope ass.
That seems like a romp, a sexual thriller.
Yeah.
I cannot believe. Okay, so I read, this is based off of a late 1700s gothic novel called The Monk, which I read in college. I hated it. It was atrocious. We read it in it is famous because it was especially raunchy for the period. Like,
sure.
It's a bunch of monks and nuns having sex. It's got like, you know,
just like
horrible depictions of sexual assault in it. It's really, really grim. But like, that's part of why we read it. We read it at a Catholic school. So I'm kind of, I'm not sure how they got that one through. But yeah, like, I hated it. And I was watching the clips of Ambrosio and I was like, wait, do I know this story? And I started Googling the names and it like broke my brain that this movie that I was extremely intrigued by was actually this book that I read in college and basically knew the whole plot of. So before I realized that we were going to basically see the entire movie front to back, I was sitting there explaining the plot of The Monk to Imran. And it's like, oh, never mind. I didn't need to do this. We're just going to see the whole thing anyway.
It's so good. And but then again, like, you know, to the point of like what is going on, and then to your we mentioned it obviously, but the fact that the one right flips to John for the next two flicks, right, of like finding a kindred spirit there. I like just the line when they're filming one of the sex scenes in Ambrosia, right? And the director's like, stop looking at the into the camera. And John, who's director of photography, is like, I like it. Yeah. He's like, it's more modern. Oh, he's like, yeah. Fuck your modern. They're having a bantery conversation about it. But then even to jump to Minsky, right, where the original guy who was cast as Minsky quits in a huff, right? He's like, you're not a director. You're just a pervert with a camera. I was like, damn, like, I love this narrative thread they're putting out through it.
And there's this whole, like, this is sort of me, like, sort of putting it together and maybe not necessarily getting it exactly right, but my understanding of sort of why Ambrosia got canceled is that the director says that it was his first movie that has, like, sex and nudity in it, and he was maybe overcompensating a little bit in some ways. And then there's a scene where John and Marissa have sex and they film it. And they're like, oh, we're just going to put this into the movie. Because John is dressed as Ambrosio, even though he's not playing Ambrosio. And he has like the hood up so you can't see it's actually him. And they're like, oh, we'll sneak it in. You know, Arthur won't know or whatever. And my sort of galaxy brain take on this is that he sat down, watched the clips, saw that in there, saw all the other stuff he had done and been like, no, I can't ruin my career as a director by putting out something that's raunchy, and didn't put it out. But then we find out later that the reason why, the reason why we have these clips anyway is because he at some point went to John, and who was his director of photography, and brought all these clips and said, here are all the negatives of Ambrosio. I'm sorry that we never released this. So that's why we have all
that. Was one of the mysteries I had that I never figured out, was why they didn't release Ambrosio.
That's my guess. I don't know if it's ever stated, but that is my guess as to why they didn't release Ambrosio.
One of the things I was trying to piece together too, and I think we might have gotten this answered after talking to you guys about like when Carl was taken over by the other one, was like there was a scene where they're partying, it's the actors, it's the crew, and you know, Carl starts talking about like, oh, like, oh, he's probably slept with all this male. Talking to Marissa.
How many have you done? He's like, I don't know, 150, 250.
Yeah, like talking about how many people he slept with. And then like there was like a passing comment of something about him being gay, right? Or sleeping with other men or something. And he like kind of scoffed at it. But like before that clip, I had seen the clip of him making out with John. So I was like, wait, was he not out? Or is this like a different version? Like, is this before Carl got taken over by the other one? That's something I'm still trying to piece together of like why he scoffed at it then, but then later he's making out with John Durek.
Yeah, I'd have to look at that. I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember. It didn't stand out for me.
How did like the pacing of you discovering this play out? Because for me, like I did something very similar to you two, where I spent like several hours mostly just piecing together the movies. I didn't find the rewind mechanic for a while because I was just watching clips front to back and not worrying too much about it. The only time I was rewinding was when there was an object earlier in the clip that I specifically had seen and been like, oh, I want to click on that. And that just happened to not coincide with that mechanic very much. And then like I felt the rumble a couple times and heard the sound and I was like, this is weird. What is that? And I pointed it out to Imran a few times. And then finally we discovered it by accident while we were rewinding back to find an object. And then that was like one level of blowing the game open for us. And then we kept playing. We actually got to the ending where she's like on fire and takes over the whole thing. We got to that because we found the clip of her talking about how only burning works. And so we started clicking on all the candles. We eventually got there. But then we didn't find the sort of speed modulating mechanic until like yesterday afternoon, like I said, when I was just messing around with something. And so even though we had already seen the ending, it was weird. It was like a very cool Shakespearean stage production almost, because we knew at that point pretty much the entire plot. We filled in a couple more scenes because we were able to get Amy's ending and like a couple other things, like questions answered. And then we were basically just watching a series of monologues by the one explaining what they had done. Wow. And it was like that moment in theater where like all the actors have left the stage and like the main character is just up there delivering a soliloquy about why they did the murders. And then it was over. And it was just, it was really weird and grim and powerful. I loved it.
For me, I'm just like Cameron Kennedy right now in the chat, who said, I had my notebook out taking notes of every single thing from the start, so I was looking at some clips super closely. But once I found the rewind mechanic, I stopped taking notes. My first night down here with it on the Xbox, it was the same thing, where I was like, I love telling lies for having the notebook. I'm going to do it. And so I had the notebook and I branched it and I was like controller down on the couch, taking notes on what I was seeing and who characters were and yada, yada, yada. And it was like at the end of that where I finally did the rumble. I'm like, I was rumbling all the time. Figured out, I was like, oh, shit. And I'm just like, you just said, Reb. Whereas like literally last night, I figured out I Googled and figured out, oh, I can do it with the D-pad and it'll actually give me different. So I still haven't gone and seen all those monologues. all the monologues you're talking about from the one I saw behind footage. And I thought that was just that, though, that was obviously my introduction to, oh, something else is going on here in the game. But again, what I enjoy about the game, even though I wish in some ways it was a little bit more direct and it was a little bit more clear on what to do, is the fact that even not knowing that functionality, I still got the story out of what was going on. And I still got credits and I still got taken over by the one. And I still had to I screenshotted as soon as she popped up full screen because I was fucking creeped out. I was like, this is scary. I wasn't expecting this game to be a horror game, right? And I wasn't expecting it to be a game that scared me, not just the characters it was dealing with in the thing. Like, to your point of blowing it open and it having levels, like, I'm actually very excited to find out that I can watch all those because I've seen the achievement for it of, like, you know, listen to all the monologues or see whatever. And I have, like, you know, 14% or whatever from the ones I've been naturally able to rewind with the L2. So the ability now to go back in and do that is exciting, even though I wonder if I'll ever actually do it. I feel like now I have to move on to the next review. And it's like, well, I might as well wait for a YouTube compilation of it. Because again, I just have a bunch of clips now out here. And I'm like, which ones have it? Which ones don't? Which ones haven't I seen? Like, and again, back to my point of, like, I love the game. I wish I had known all that beforehand, at least a little bit mechanically better than I knew than now, because it would have been more fun to have the story that way. And now I'm at this point where it's like, I need to go forward with my life, I feel like, and not go and try to do it all over again. But I hope somebody puts the movies together, and I hope somebody does the monologues together.
You gotta watch all, like, the subverted clips.
Sure. Like, I wanted to so bad crazy. When I see her mouthing words, I was like, oh, fuck, I wonder what she's saying.
And there's some where, like, you know, you'll get the, I'm sure you've already seen the ones where it is, like, it's not even the monologues, it's them recreating the scene, totally. Maybe make it, like, a little bit more fucked up, and then the music gets kind of eerie, and it's the perfect, like, oh fuck, what's going on here kind of feeling. It takes me back to playing The Witness, if you ever played The Witness, where there's, like, a moment in The Witness that you have where you realize that the puzzles that you're solving on the island aren't just the puzzles on the panels, but, like, the island itself is a puzzle. For me, that was, like, a mind-blown moment of, oh, this game is not what I thought this game was. There's an entirely different game here that I had to play. And I had that exact same kind of satisfaction when it was probably a few hours in where I felt the controller rumble, and I was like, oh, that's interesting. And I wanted to rewind back to feel the rumble again, because I figured it meant that, like, that moment in the scene must mean something. And as I rewind, that's when I first saw it. And I was like, what the fuck? And, like, and I don't know how I figured it out, but, like, I figured out the D-pad thing. Yeah. And, like, you know, watched it, and I was like, dude, this is fucking crazy. This is fucking weird. And I favorite that clip because I'm like, all right, this clip must be important. Like, this must be, there must be something about this clip and, like, the way that it's weird. And then I started noticing it everywhere.
Every clip, yeah.
Where I'm like, oh, every single clip has this. This is fucking crazy. And then I went back and watched the whatchamacallit, the interview ones, right, where it's her on the talk show or John on the talk show doing the interview. Like, those are the ones that, like, really fucked me up, because those were the clips where I was like, I need to find more of these clips. And there's only the two of them, seemingly.
You're going back and forth?
No, the talk show
with the fake Johnny Carson.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah. Because I just like that, the talk show scene. I was like, I want to hear more about what the actors have to say about what's going on.
Totally.
And I found the subverse clips there, and I was like, this is fucking crazy. And it keeps going and going where I was finding more of the dialogues. It seems like, or more of the monologues. I think there's quite a few repeated monologues. Because I swear to God, I heard her talk about the same thing over and over again at a certain point. I think part of that's maybe because I found it early, and I imagine the team was trying to account for, like, if they find out this mechanic late, let's make sure that, like, they're getting all the things they need to out of the monologues. And because I found it early, I think I was just seeing the same shit over and over again.
You definitely were. There's a set, the kind of grayscale footage of her in that, like, big dress or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's basically a set of, I think, like, four or five of those monologues that you can see from a bunch of different clips. But then there's also other things that are totally unique. But you've definitely heard them repeatedly. I know because those are the ones I was trying to find after I figured that out yesterday. And there was one specific one that I remember seeing multiple times where she just turns around and seems to, like, start to say a word, and I wanted to know what she was going to say. And it took me forever to find that one.
I'm currently going through the table reads because I remember one fucked up one popping up, and I was like, what is going on in this fucking table read? And I can't figure out which one of the table reads it was to go through and do.
Yeah.
But see, this is my thing, is I don't want to do this again. I don't want a needle in haystack this like tonight. Yeah. I'm going through every clip looking for like the
do
thing
it,
that we
Greg,
wanted.
Do it, it's probably Greg, fun.
Here, here's my main. You want to know what my real ace up the sleeve is, Wes? Is that I would rather not do it now, and then hopefully it comes to PlayStation one day, and I go through for trophies there.
Well, smart. Greg, I mean, if you really just want to knock it out now, so after I finish, after I basically put the controller down and said, I have seen everything I need to see, I don't need to do this anymore, I pulled up the subreddit to see what was going on there, and someone has made a beautiful grid of a list of every single clip in the entire game with like numbers and scenes. And then they have noted which ones have reverse footage on them. So if you're just trying to find specific things.
See, I'm all in for that. I'm all in for a guy to do
this. Please don't do this until you are at the point that I was at where I put the controller down and said, that is it, I'm done. Because I actually, the only thing that I did not pick up on from the scenes that I feel like I gleaned from like scrolling through there and seeing, oh, what was this? Was the bit about Marissa being in the barn in World War II. Like that was a scene I did not see. I was like,
yeah, I
want to
see that one real bad.
But then there's YouTube, there's like links to YouTube. So you can find, there's compilations on YouTube of all the scenes. And I think you can probably like find timestamps or something and figure out like.
Do you remember what this is titled? Because there's a lot, I'm here.
I would type and find it for you, but I have a mechanical keyboard and no one wants to listen to that.
Nah, it's fine. We're gonna end here in a second anyway. You're fine. Yeah. You can get it.
I will say though, I in the way that like you know went about finding the subversive clips, I am slightly envious though of you, Rebecca, because like I feel like the way I did it, you know, I was for the most part of my playthrough, I would watch a new clip and then go back and then watch the subverse clip right after that. And it was a lot of me experiencing a lot of different aspects of the story at the same time and not being able to piece it together in a clean way.
Right, yeah.
Like if I did it the way you did it, where it is, cool, I've seen all of the regular clips and I kind of understand, I understand the flow of the story here. And then I go watch all the fucked up shit. I feel like I'd have a better understanding of like the timeline and what's going on here. I spent so much time confused about who this lady is in the black and white. It is such a slow burn that way. And it was until like the very end where I was like, oh, she's controlling her. Like that's something I didn't glean early on. I was like, I didn't realize that she was being controlled. It was way more of a slower burn for me to find out all that stuff.
Oh my gosh, there's this one scene. It's I think some of the table reads for Two of Everything when the one is controlling both John and Marissa, and the subverted footage is John is not there. Like all the other actors are there. John is not there. And
that
Marissa,
makes so much sense.
The one is doing the movements, like the actions for both Marissa and John. Like there's one where John gets up to grab a glass of water and then you get to the subverted footage and the one is dressed as Marissa, seated in Marissa's place, but then gets up and gets the glass of water like John does. It's so
good.
That's
fucking crazy, dude.
The woman who plays the one, fantastic.
Yeah. That's my other pick.
They're all so good. Wow. Yeah, she's so good.
That's another, like, she better be nominated for something because you just describing that of her playing both roles at the same time is impressive, let alone all of the like the weird, eerie like performance. Her doing the exact same scenes as Marissa and just making it so that you're just unsettled the entire time. Like she does some fantastic stuff in performance in this game.
The final scene where she's burning and the subverted footage of her just like getting closer to the camera each time and her face is like, ah!
I love to, nothing in this game is by chance. I love that, the 13 years of Catholic school. But like when the fire happens, right? And this is like, that. I remember when I got that scene and it was like, as this is all starting to come, I think it's when I texted Bless her right away of like, is she a demon or what? But it's the pillar of fire. Like there's the fire, but then there's a very specific pillar of fire, which is always referenced in so many biblical things. I was like, clearly that's her spirit. I didn't know at the time that, you know, that's the only way to do it is kill him through that or whatever. But I have found, by the way, the complete list of clips. And I'm now watching the fucked up scene of the casting table of this guy just getting his brains fucked out. Jesus Christ. On Game Pass, everybody. Make sure you have your parental restrictions set.
A lot of sex in this game. Don't stream this game. Probably not acceptable.
I had a mic, and like we had a long conversation about like, is this allowed on Twitch? Is this not allowed on Twitch?
I don't think this is allowed on Twitch.
I was like, you probably shouldn't watch it on Twitch. What was the clip that rolled credits for you guys?
Wait, is it not the flame? Is it not her burning?
That wasn't the one that rolled credits for me.
What?
It was the one where she bled out her head. That was the one, like, I found the flame footage, and then right after that, I had found the one of, her bleeding out her head at the end of Two of Everything, and that's where credits rolled for me. Yeah,
see, I think, again, Reb, I think it's a gated thing, because I had the same thing where I had the fire and I texted Bless about something else and I kept playing. And I asked you if it was a gated thing, Bless, right? Because of credits. Cause I'm like, I feel like this is the last, Bless was being very coy on purpose and in good on him of like, I got what must be the last clip. I'm like, this has to be the last clip, right? He's like, yeah, but, and then I kept playing and going into more stuff. And that's when I think I went into enough clips that it did the, you start scanning and the one's face pops up behind all the different stuff.
Oh, it must be. That's fascinating though. That must be a very different mood then coming from a different clip, because I had the one where she bleeds from the head. Like I already had that clip. And so when I got to the burning, like it did feel extremely final. And I did the whole thing. Like I watched the burning and then went back and watched the subverted footage and then backed out. And then it was her face and it was, oh wow. What a moment. Yeah.
What a game, ladies and gentlemen. If you haven't for some reason played Immortality, you
listen to all this.
You still should. Barrett, you should still play.
Barrett, I mean, Courtney. Like, does the rumble work on the Steam Deck? Like, it's sounding like it's not, you know.
It does, like, we'll little bit, but, like, yeah, you kind of have to really pay attention to it.
I'm replaying The Last of Us Part 2 right now because I'm a broken person. I'm real busy over here, you know.
Rebecca, thank you over here
trying not to play God of War Ragnarok.
Thank you. I needed an outlet. Oh my god.
Everybody does when they play this. So there you go, ladies.
You can't tweet about it because it's spoiled. There's nothing.
You don't
want to
ruin it for anybody. You can't ruin it for anybody.
Nothing you can say.
We love it. You should play it. That's the final word here. Of course, this is Ben, the Kind of Funny Games cast. Right after this, we're going to do an old episode of a trivia show. We haven't talked about it, but you're not on the episode tomorrow. I have my own idea for a game, but did you have something built up already?
I mean, I have something built, but I can save it for next week.
Okay. I mean, mine's going to be my own. Okay. Then it's going to be Greg's trivia show, everybody. It's going to be Greg's trivia show. I had a funny name for it, but I forgot it. It was in the shower this morning. I'll get back to you on that one. But if you're not coming to watch us on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where, of course, you could write in and be part of the show. You could get the show ad-free. You could get the show with the exclusive post show we do. You could be watching live like Cameron is, Dave is. Thank you all for hanging out. Remember, you can get the show for free, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and podcast services around the globe each and every week. We review those games, we preview those games, we have a good time with those games. Of course, if you like playing games, maybe you should use the creator code Kind of Funny. That's right, if you're on the Epic Game Store, use creator code Kind of Funny. If you're playing Rocket League, you're playing Fortnite, you're playing that there Rumbleverse, pop in that Epic creator code wherever you can and support us without having to give us any extra money. Until next time, go visit Rebecca, IGN.com. go over there, read her stuff, see what's up. She's doing great work. Is there anything you want to promote, Reb? Is there something coming up soon for you?
Not that I'm allowed to talk about, but I have articles.
Oh, she has articles, everybody. Look for them on IGN.com. And until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.